You're listening to the Closing Market Report for Wednesday afternoon. Jackie Vakes at Stuart Peterson is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm not as busy as you were today because I know you made a trip up north, and I like to talk about these sometime. You will be on Orion's show over the weekend, right?
Right.
Excellent.
Right.
So yeah. You went up and recorded with Orion this morning. I hope you had an enjoyable time up there. He's really good at what he does. And did you find out anything new this morning?
Well, Max was also there, so I had the opportunity to be on the show with both of them. Did I find out anything new? They were more interested, I guess, in what I knew than anything else. They were
That's
wondering
what we
about,
do, isn't it? We
yeah,
ask questions. Progress,
you know, and things like that, and what, you know, what we're thinking about, what may or may not happen if we don't get an agreement tonight, and those types of things.
Yeah, but, well, that probably is top of mind. It appears the Senate has come to some conclusion, and that the House may very well agree, and that the president will sign some legislation that, I guess, kicks the can a little further down the road, I suppose, as far as it goes.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. I mean, you know, I think one of the things that came out today on the program when we talked was Max asked, he said, you know, everybody always assumed everybody could get along without the USDA, and he thinks this 2 weeks has certainly proven that that's not necessarily the truth. We can get a lot of, you can get information, but it's fragmented information, and it kind of brings the market or the traders to a halt because we can go on for so long, but that's about it. All of a sudden you start to really run out of things that you can go back to and look at. And
yeah, so, it seemed that was coming to a head at this point in this week, right?
Oh, it certainly seemed that way. You know, you saw simple things going on, like unwinding of spreads like yesterday. They were unwinding out of the bean and spreads with corn and wheat. Today we saw some spreads coming back in place again. You know, just very, very safe, very quiet type of trade. Not anybody too interested in sticking their neck out too far.
In fact, on that note, I wondered what the November crop production reports and the WASDE numbers might look like. I called and talked to Bill Turney earlier today and recorded that. It won't really matter too much whether the Congress and the U.S. government's back to work because they will have to work quickly. Bill worked at the World Agriculture Outlook Board for about 3 or 4 years and went through some of the process and what the World Agricultural Outlook Board can do with WASDE numbers, even if there isn't a crop production figure for the month of November.
Yeah.
So we'll put that into Commodity Week, and it'll be up on the website, of course, on our radio stations over the weekend. He says WASDE can do its job, but it's better, of course, if the crop production figures are there. Hey, let's talk about some of the other things that are around. Even without USDA, export sales guesses are out?
They are. In fact, they just came out just a little bit ago. They're expecting corn 650,000 to 850,000, beans 950,000 to 1.1 million, and wheat at 550,000 to 850,000. So, you know, very strong exports, no question about that. And I think that's what all of us are dying to find out is, did China really take advantage of this opportunity and buy a whole bunch of corn without impacting the futures?
Isn't that the one that everybody wants to know? Was China in the marketplace? And I guess we'll find out eventually, but it'll take some time.
Well, I think it will. The biggest question I have, Todd, right now is if USDA, let's say we go back to work tomorrow or they go back to work the next day, they should have had all of the October information accumulated already. Will they actually put that out to us? That's the big thing that I have wondering in my mind, because, you know, the wild card that we're up against is, you know, what's harvested acreage, what's their estimated yield, and the implications that has, you know, for the overall direction of the marketplace.
Would you want to see it?
I would like to see it.
Do you think everybody will want to see those numbers? I mean,
I think traders want to see it. Yes, I do. I think that even though we have a November report that's not that far down the pike, this would still be information that it's vital information. That October report is an extremely important report to us. At the very least, we would have more current FSA numbers, you know, all of that. And so I think it would just lead into it. I want to see it. Let's put it that way.
All right. So what else do we have going on in the marketplace? Things are happening in Mexico, right?
Oh, yes. You know, on the 10th, you know, that we have all of this excitement about the possibility of China buying corn, and now we have a federal judge down in Mexico that banned Monsanto and DuPont Pioneer from selling any GMO seed or doing any commercial plots down there, anything of that sort. And you know, that isn't a small thing. A lot of people don't realize that Japan actually has been buying more corn this last year than what we've seen coming out of, Mexico, than coming out of Japan. And that's, you know, that's an extremely important market to us. So I'm hoping that the next step is not going to be banning anything coming into the country, because that certainly could have an impact on us.
And they have an insect problem, too?
Well, that's Brazil. Brazil's got a major insect problem, and this is kind of, this is a new phenomenon for that. This was found in Bahia earlier in the year. I talked with Dr. Cornier yesterday, and he was telling me about this. He said they have the corn earworm, which is also known as the boll worm and that type of thing, and kind of interesting how two words can mean something totally different. Earworm actually means a repeating song in your head. In this particular case, it's repeatedly taking money out of their pocket, because they didn't even have an insecticide. It has absolutely no natural predators down in South America at all. And right now, it's spread across all of central Brazil. They know that. In fact, they're warning the bean farmers at this point in time, because you know, that worm can actually survive on up to 180 different varieties of plants. We see them in our gardens at times on tomatoes. You see them all over the place. And this is just something brand new down there for them. They actually went to the government, asked to have pesticides brought in, you know, to get the okay, because they're so concerned about it because it's such a voracious leaf eater. And he put it, you know, this could be very similar in terms of impact as what Asian rust was. Up in Bahia, they actually lost about $89 million last year due to damage from this earworm. And, you know, that they not only have to spray now for rust, but now they're going to have to deal with this, and what ultimately does is drive their cost of production higher. You know, so again, the playing field becomes more level sometimes. You know, before Asian rust, we didn't have a very level playing field because we had a lot of problems, and now they're starting to see some other problems coming in. So just another thing that, you know, makes it more difficult, I guess, no matter if you're a producer or wherever you are. There's always something around the corner you have to deal with.
And finally, a quick word on the livestock. The troubles in South Dakota are making their way into the mercantile exchange.
Oh, there's no question about that. And yet, you know, when you look at 60,000 head of cattle in the bigger picture, it's really not that huge a number. One of the things that I truly believe is I think we probably have more bulls in the offices right now than we have out in the fields, because technicals look pretty strong for cattle. There's no question about that. My comeback is always the same, and that is if you're going to manage risk, you really should have some puts in place. Just try to remember when we went back up to that 138, 137 area, what happened? We closed up a plant down in Texas, and we just crashed. We can't take that kind of chance. I mean, it's one of those situations where it's okay to be bullish, but you have to still be a risk manager. And we do have cattle on feed estimates that actually are out, too. On feed, 92.7. Placements 101 and marketing's 104. So if those numbers come in, that would also be very supportive to cattle.
Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for a Wednesday afternoon. Time for you to join us as well by dialing this number, 217-244-9455, and pledging your financial support.